Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's finally Friday.
TGIF.
Yes, ma'am. In fact, it's it's Friday, September 16th. That's
that
how
mean?
Friday-ish it is.
What's that mean?
I don't know. Okay. It just sounded good, you know? Folks, you got to bear with me, you know? Some mornings I'm just like that.
We're gearing them up, guys.
Nonsense, yes. You know? But we do have a great guest, and in a few minutes she's going to join us. Regarding the guests from yesterday, right?
We had a little, what's the mystery? Are they okay?
Okay, so we had a little agreement here that if it was my mistake that they didn't show up, the reason they didn't show up, what was I going to do? Call myself names?
Yes, call yourself a funny name, right?
Right, or a few names,
sure, yeah.
But the bottom line was that I screwed up. I totally screwed up.
Oh, no. Are we ready? Drum roll.
Yes. They were supposed to come in yesterday. So imagine my horror when I found out now I had a double booking for today.
Ooh, you double booked.
I double booked my ass.
Okay. So what are we calling you?
Good question, right?
Okay.
An airhead?
Airhead's okay. Little 1950s.
Okay. An asshole?
Okay. Yeah, okay. That's more like 80s.
Right. Well, I didn't say bad things about them, right?
Okay, so you aren't, like, terrible.
No, I don't know what I am.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Maybe you can come up with a name.
My husband just came up with them. This is way too harsh. This is not you. But I just like this new saying. Instead of douche or, ugh, I hate that, you know, asshole or whatever. It's a dick nugget.
A dick nugget.
I don't know. It's really
stupid. It doesn't sound good.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. It's a good insult when you're really mad at someone. It's great.
Really?
Yo, when you're really
your
mad.
Dick nugget?
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know. I'll try it, but.
Makes me want
that nugget. I don't know about the nugget.
Fail.
Yeah.
All right.
Dick is pretty good.
Yeah, just stop there.
Yeah.
All right.
But there are dirtier words for dick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We can mention all of them here, but we're not going to soil the show for our guest here, who might actually want to quote a couple things from the show. And we need to be respectful
Very
of our
true.
Guests, right? But at any rate, in a few minutes, any big plans for the weekend, Tori?
No.
No, you're not performing anywhere this weekend?
No, but that's on the 21st, which is Wednesday, and it's at the Comedy Store. Mm. So you have to, I'll keep updating everyone.
Yes, you'll have to remind us every day.
Very exciting.
Until it's drilled into my head.
Yes, it's with pretty funny women. It's all women. You would love it, Sam.
Yes, I would.
You would love it.
I've been to one of those.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you this. How many or... No, not how many. So it's going to be when? Wednesday, did you say?
21st.
Right. And that's going to be the Comedy Store. And just remind us and we'll be there.
Okay, cool.
Because I love comedy. I really do, you know. And I'll bet you there'll be a couple of pretty funny women there.
Oh, my God. They're all funny women.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Beautiful.
Well, I'm hoping in the audience.
No,
too,
you're right. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. Someone I can actually approach.
Actually, it's a good place to meet people.
Oh, yeah. I know it is.
There you go.
I know. Those comedy clubs are amazing, you know. They're not as threatening. And
people are already smart enough to enjoy the comedy. And,
right. Yeah. And they laugh. And
totally. Yeah. They've got a good sense of humor. Yeah. That's actually a great place.
Well, if they're smart enough to come alone there, girls with their female friends.
Yeah, no, but there's usually groups of chicks.
Yeah.
Because when I do crowd work, a lot of people do crowd work and they're like, and they make fun of the people in the audience. And it could not be more awkward for everybody involved. I hate it. They hate it. The audience hates it.
Right.
So when I do crowd work, I like point out things of like how cute someone's outfit is, which is like not funny, but I like love it. And there's always groups of women. I'm like, you're in a Pinterest page over there. You look darling. And so lots of hot women are there.
Whoa.
A couple of drinks.
Yeah.
They're like loose. It's like fun
atmosphere.
They
loosen up. They laugh.
Yeah. It's a great
good
place
idea.
Now that I think
Even
about
if it's
it.
A group, how do you break in?
You bring up a funny joke that someone mentioned. And then you're like, wasn't that funny? And you kind of say it to them and, you know, I don't know.
But at what point do you say that? I mean, the
show when people are leaving and people get, there's a patio where there's a bar.
Oh, you can mingle and stuff.
You mingle and you can kind of like try it right out there. You know, your own
stuff.
That's
true.
Your own show.
Okay, well, sounds good. Yeah. I'll try that. And then we have the thing tonight. Are you still coming to the gallery?
I'm still coming, I think so. He said it's going to be super crowded.
Really?
Yeah. He said like 450 people.
Who did he say that to? Did you talk to him?
Yeah, I RSVP'd and he said it was going to be mental.
Wow.
So now I'm scared.
So maybe I'll get there earlier.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Because, I mean, I got to go to my family dinner after that. So I figured if I'm there, it starts at 7.
7 to 10.
If I'm there from 7 to 8, I could get the gist of it.
I think you can get
myself,
the gist. It's
right?
The Andre Dumas Gallery. It's all photographs, aerial photographs with him and Art Wolf. It should be really fun.
Right.
But maybe I shouldn't advertise because there's too many people coming.
Well, that's okay. Everybody come. All maybe right. It's our audience. I don't know. I've talked the shit about it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've talked so much about it. But no, I doubt it. I can't take that credit. They're amazing photographers, these guys.
That's
you
true.
Know? And when you tell people, I met this guy who actually takes photos and video from suspended from a helicopter above the Empire State Building, I'm like, no. I'm even scared to look at the Empire State Building from the sidewalk, looking up, let alone look down.
No, that guy could not have been like hotter, cooler, and more like exciting to me.
Right. He's like a modern day Indiana Jones.
No, he absolutely
right?
was. Like, if he had come in a hat and a fedora, I wouldn't have mocked him.
Right.
Because I'm like, you deserve that, Indiana Jones.
Right.
And he was
35 years old.
34. Are you kidding
me? He's been to 170 countries.
His wife is a robotic surgeon. She uses robots to conduct surgery. Well, I'm like sitting here with coffee being like, maybe I'll go to a diner after this. My God, what a cool couple.
Right. And this is a guy who drives a Tesla.
You love this, yeah.
Yeah, that's who you would expect to drive a Tesla.
Totally.
And I guess he's earned it.
Like, to be honest, he could be Batman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true, right? Batman. I don't know if he could save people.
I think
but
he could. He's suspending himself in a helicopter.
Right? She's like picturing a Superman in her head already.
I'm picturing the Batcave in his Tesla, and he goes into a little cave with Alfred. Anyway.
Yeah, but and he did it all himself, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Was born in a small town in Romania.
In communist regime.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Grew up in London.
Wow.
Yeah, his name is Andre Dumas.
Look or is up. It?
Yeah.
Could be a spy.
Yeah, right?
Totally could be a spy. Or is it Bruce Wayne?
Yeah. True.
Who knows?
So a lot of stuff happening. I guess the iPhone is hitting the stores, but everything, the black one's pretty much sold out.
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, go just talking and reading blogs pop culture wise and also talking to my friends who are always talking about pop culture. Everything that we talk about the phone is the stupid, stupid earphones, the wireless
right?
headphones.
Yeah.
So not only are people pissed about how expensive it is, a lot of people don't think it'll fit in the ears, and then they're pissed. There's little pegs coming out from out of it, so you kind of look like a douche.
You do.
Like, and so people think you should have done it like an F, you know, like a when you put it directly in the ear, like in Her. Have you seen that movie where they put it directly in the ear?
Uh-huh.
So it just doesn't look cool.
Yeah.
So everyone, that's all I hear about is that one complaint.
Yeah,
we don't talk about anything else.
I know. But people will get used to it. You
know,
just
man.
Like when those big companies, they always make those things. I mean, Apple, like, at one point stopped making optical drives, you know, and things like that. People went like, what? You know?
I think it's crazy that it's $150 to get them and they don't come with it.
Right.
God.
No, I know.
That's a lot to expect. But, I mean, I'm sure you're right.
It's happened so many times.
Right, yeah.
You know, when they were just like, IBM did this in the 80s mm-hmm. and stuff. You know, they went from the big floppy disk to the smaller floppy. Do you even know what a floppy disk is?
Are you kidding me? Of course I do.
I'm kidding.
Oh, my
you're
God.
So young, though.
I do
you
know. I used to play, like, QWERTY on it.
Yeah.
Like, very, very early on. Like, Carmen Sandiego discs.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, of course.
No, that's true. I mean, that's 80s stuff.
I'm an 80s girl. I'm kind of a 90s girl. But I just, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm sounding so old-fashioned and we'll all get used to the wireless headphones. But I can't believe $150?
That's a lot of money.
I just spent $150
on
they
should
nice
have included
headphones.
Them, if nothing else, right?
Come on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's one example of Apple really sticking it to people.
Seriously.
And, you know, and they've worked on really, you know, taking care of their image, promoting a clean image that they care about their customers, you know, when
you know
it
what
came
else is
to,
coming out now?
To security. And
they have, not only do you hear all these really clean, just like you're saying, like an elegant company with a lot of morals,
uh-huh.
not only do we hear like Chinese kids are making the phones, like in the last couple of weeks, there's been a hack of their emails, and it's all about how sexist and racist the environment, work environment is. And it's a lot of
people, at Apple.
At Apple. Wow. And it's a lot of people writing to Tim Cook being like, this is completely absurd. I had to sit through this meeting with blah, 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 blah. So it's all that. That's also coming out in the past couple days, in fact. So read up on that, because it's like things are getting a little tarnished now with the halo of Steve Jobs gone, you know?
Yeah, there you go. It's not the same Apple anymore. And if people had any doubts, you know, you take the leader out, you know, it's not the same anymore.
You turn into hooligan.
You know, Tim Cook may be a good leader, but he's no Steve Jobs.
No, he's not. And not to say Steve Jobs wasn't a complete ass to a lot of people.
Well, he was,
which
but
he
that's
was.
Beside
but
the point.
You have a visionary leader, that's different, exactly.
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, he created a lot for people.
Yes.
He revolutionized what we do, for crying out loud. Put a computer in our hands.
Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, when I read that whole book about him, Walter Isaacs, the biography, though, he had a terrible work environment for a lot of people. But he also, like, you have to have that to push things forward sometimes. So, I mean, it's just interesting. Apple's kind
of... but it was his personality. Yeah. Look, he wasn't the most likable person.
He was not at all. Yeah. Very dislikable. But he made amazing things happen.
Yeah. There you go. So it's not always about your personality, you know?
So the lesson is be a jerk.
Yeah, take heed, Trump haters.
Right.
It's not always about the personality.
Oh, he fazed me with that, man. Now he's saying that Hillary started the birther movement and that, of course, Obama is from the United States.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So he's saying Hillary started that?
So today he said it live. He goes, I'm finishing what Hillary started, the birther question. Obama was born in the U.S. And we're like, Hillary didn't do anything wrong. What the hell, man? You did.
Yeah.
He's just a flat-out liar, man. So anyway, this is the new thing.
Yeah. He was on The Tonight Show last night.
Yeah.
Did you see those clips?
Fallon's playing with his flipping hair. Yeah. How about you ask him a flipping question? Come on.
But that's not what that show is for,
know.
You know?
They play ping pong.
Enough
for
the politics, you know. Those shows are to take a break from politics.
I know. I can't decide if I'm okay with Fallon taking it lightly or if I'm like, come on, dude.
Yeah, right?
Ask one foreign policy question, you know? Come on. I don't know. I'm a little disappointed. Fallon is also very, with his guests, he's very like, yeah. He's like always...
Yeah.
I can't watch him for an interview.
Yeah, no, he's not for an interview. He's no Anderson Cooper. But then again, he's not meant to be, you know, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, his interview section is pretty poor on his show, I think.
All right, well, we're going to bring in our guest now. We're sitting here patiently. And beautiful smile, Kathy Coppa. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Hey, thank you.
Of course. Thank you for sitting by and watching us talk.
That was fun.
And hopefully we entertained you a little bit. Okay? Because we're all about entertaining our guests,
That's
very
right.
Yes. So welcome to the show, Kathy.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. And we met recently. We actually spoke at the last Great Love Debate in Los Angeles.
That's right.
So that was, a couple weeks ago?
Yes, we were at the Improv, and we're going to be there again on October 6th. We love the Improv.
Yeah, so you're coming back already.
Yes, we are.
Wow, that's awesome.
So what is the Great Love Debate?
Yes, Tori wants to know.
Yes.
I mean, here we beat it to death on this show, but I like it.
Yeah.
And I think it stimulates conversation.
It's helpful.
So let's let Kathy tell us about it.
Yeah, and that is, in fact, the whole point of the Great Love Debate is to stimulate conversation, that lost art of conversation. The Great Love Debate is a live interactive theater experience. We do it at comedy clubs. It's a town hall style debate about love, sex, dating, relationships, everything that everybody wants to talk about. And you can get it off your chest live and in person and stand up, the guys and the girls. And
so anyone can stand up at any time?
Anybody can stand up at any time. It is loads of fun, hilarious, beyond hilarious. And once again, our tagline, get your head out of your apps. It is all about talking to each other.
There you go, right? And that's the thing. But you know what? I went to the Love Debate and there's still a lot of people not talking to each other after that. It's not like, it's meant to bring people together. The last couple times I went there, people really cleared the room quickly.
Oh, my gosh, Sam, I'm sorry you missed the memo. We went across the street to the bar.
Oh.
How the hell am I supposed to know that? Yeah, I was right there. How am I supposed to know that?
I'm going to take you by the hand next time.
Yeah,
okay, thank you. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I was looking for all the women. I'm like, where's everybody going?
It's because a new show has to start probably in the Improv. So
yes,
that's right.
That's exactly why.
Yeah.
Right. So they clear you out. But there was an area to stand and stuff, but nobody stayed.
There's
also a bar outside.
Yeah, there's a small bar there. And then, like I said, we go across the street because there's just more room for everybody. Yeah, because that 10 o'clock show moves in real fast. fast. And yeah. So yeah, well, I'll grab you by the hand and we'll go over together
thank
next
you,
time.
Yeah,
okay?
You thank you. My God, I'm like missing out on all the fun.
They're all giving out numbers to everyone at the bar.
I know.
I wish Sam were here.
Imagine they have 100 men, 100 women going to a show, hoping to meet somebody. Then you go and they're all gone, you know, and you're going, what did I miss?
No, Sam, we want to fix you up.
Okay, so thank
cute.
You.
So do couples, do you hear of successful relationships afterwards?
We absolutely do.
Wow.
It's hilarious. And again, I think it's because of that lost art of conversation. People start talking with each other. All of a sudden, they find out how much fun it is to connect. And we do. We get emails from people all the time that say that they, you know, they met somebody after the show. They used some tip. It was kind of what you were talking about with the comedy clubs. Mm-hmm. You say, wasn't that funny? Or what did you think of this? And all of a sudden, a conversation is going and a date happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's easier when there's a conversation starter to talk about.
Exactly.
So do you guys, I read a little bit about it. You guys sit separately, men and women, in
no,
the show?
No, not really. No, they're mixed.
Oh.
Not all the time.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes we do. Sometimes we separate the men on one side, the women on the other. Other times we just keep everyone all mixed together.
I love this.
Right. Yeah. But they single out the men and the women with their questions
right,
and stuff.
Right,
you
right,
know,
right,
have,
right.
have all the men stand up and how to, you know, anybody over a certain height stay standing, all this stuff. Suddenly there's like nobody standing, right? That's what they were talking about, the height of people, how, you know, some women were like set certain standards as far as or expectations as far as to how tall the man is.
So I used to work with like 26-year-olds, the one thing they would always say is, I want him super, super tall. And I was
right.
like, what is this new thing with tall?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's like the new thing.
Is it new? I think it's always been like that. What'd
oh, man. I don't know. Millennials love a tall guy.
Yeah.
Not in my generation.
It's always been like that. I mean, look at all the movie stars and everything.
Tom Cruise is like 3 feet tall.
Right. But they make him look... And that's just one.
He wears
you know?
Platforms.
And besides, I'm talking more like the classic Hollywood, you know, like John Wayne and...
I gotta
you know.
Say, I'm just saying, Tom Cruise, I know he's crazy. He's classic Hollywood.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, come on.
No, I meant classic Hollywood, okay, like in the 50s
oh,
and
okay.
40s. All right.
Our expectations generally will get us in trouble. So, yeah, if you let go of those, then you
yeah.
open the world up to all kinds of possibilities, and that's what we advocate.
Yeah,
because I'm like,
awesome.
You really need to find this, and this. And to be honest, I'm always like, oh, I know why you want it like that, because you are used to a concierge lifestyle. The millennials can get anything they want at any time on their apps.
Yeah.
So they want a specific guy that they want to order off of Yelp. Do you know what I mean? It's like
yes.
that.
Yeah.
I want him to be 6'2". I want him to be an investment banker. I want him to like Scooby-Doo, but not too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, I think that's okay for you to have sort of a set of things that you like. It's like if I ask you, what's your favorite color and
mm-hmm.
you say blue, it's okay. But that doesn't mean you're never going to buy a red dress.
That's exactly.
So
right.
I think if you say, oh, well, I'd like
exactly
this, I'd
right.
like that. But the reality is that you don't know
yeah,
who
you
you're going to
no
fall
idea.
For. No,
no
it's probably
right?
going to be somebody shorter or taller
completely
or
different.
Different color or different, you know, lifestyle
completely
or job
right.
you do not know.
Yeah, so it's seldom like that
yeah.
that like perfect
it's
one.
Never.
That you
it's
think
almost
it's
never.
Be, right.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
And yeah, and we settle because we realize we can't find that robot, that perfect
person. Or do you really want that person,
want,
right? Like,
right?
do you need that person? You know, I
yeah.
thought what I wanted was this, like, stocky blonde, like, cowboy. And I get this, like, waspy, wonderful, thin, brunette Irish man. And I didn't think I wanted it. And I do, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what we always say. If you think that you have a type and you're over 30 and you're not married, your type is not working for you. So you might as well let that go.
Sail away.
Yeah.
Yes.
Away.
But unless you've been waiting not to get married till later on, you know, I don't think anybody after 30 feel like they're left out or anything, you know, left behind.
Women do.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? As soon as they hit 30,
are you kidding me? 30's like wah alarm bells, like something's
right,
wrong with
but
you.
But I saw some waiting till they're 35, 30.
More people are getting married later. That's very
right.
true.
Yeah, that is very, very true. But we also find that it's different in different parts of the country, and we talk about that a lot. In the South, the women get married, everyone gets married really, really young.
Yeah, right.
And then in other places, like here in Los Angeles, I mean, people get married at 40,
oh,
and
yeah.
you know, I mean, first time. I mean,
yeah.
it's
wow.
yeah, so it's a lot different.
It is.
And in some countries, it's much more like about partnerships.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about like Norwegians or Swedes or anything, or Finland, they generally, or the Netherlands, they generally don't marry. They just have, they stay together as partners.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's maybe not a bad idea.
I agree with you, my sister.
Yeah, marriage is a legal agreement.
Amen, sister.
I have this theory that if you need to have a legal agreement with somebody, you should get married. Like, if you want to have kids, mm-hmm. I think, for me, and just a sort of a fantasy agreement, if you're young and you want to have kids, you should agree with somebody that you're going to stay together for 20 years and grow your family and your finances and, 20 years regroup. Because
wow,
I don't think anybody is the same after 20 years.
Not even after 10. I don't know. People I'm telling you, it's like I felt both my marriages that, after 10 years, well, the first one was only 7, but let's say the 7-year itch. But I think it does happen to people. I think it happens.
Was it equal for both of you? You both felt it?
No, I felt that I wanted the hell out of there, both times. But it was because I felt the women have changed. Mm. And they were not the same woman I married. And
they're absolutely not the same woman that you married, especially if it was something in your 20s. A 25-year-old woman is not going to be the same as a 35 or as a 45. None of us. We all change over time. We grow. Sometimes I think people do grow together. My sister and her husband have a fabulous marriage.
Closer.
But they go closer and all of that. But I think a lot of times
my parents, 45 years,
grow different, And if it's different, I think you have to shake hands and say, we built a great life. Now we can shake hands and go on to our next chapter. I think it's okay to do that.
What a great way to reframe it. I love that idea of let's regroup. Not that I'm planning on this. No. The idea of let's regroup. I think that's so much more common sense. That's so much more based in common sense.
People are living a lot longer. I mean, remember in the old pioneer times, I think people used to die at 40?
Yeah.
And now people are dying at 95. So I don't think it's unreasonable to regroup after 20 years and start again if that's where you're at, and you didn't
and
end
that's
up in
where
the same
I'm
place.
At. Yeah.
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 That's
where
I'm
at. Except you look in the mirror and you go, you know what? I'm not so young anymore.
Oh, you're so hot. Come on, let it go.
Well, she made my morning.
Sam's a good-looking guy.
He so is.
We can totally find him a woman, right?
Completely.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Wow. You see, I don't even realize that. Sometimes I feel transparent.
You should see. You're a very, fit, healthy, very sexy kind of guy.
Totally introducing him to somebody
Absolutely.
Next time.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies. I mean, that really made my day.
October 6th.
I need someone to tell me something good rather than beat up on me all the time.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, but it is happening
to
me.
Okay, so name 3 things you love about yourself right now.
I do like the way I look, but I don't think it's enough.
You like the way you look.
About the way, I like my mind.
Okay.
I like my sense of humor.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Now you're telling yourself how good you are.
Yeah, that's true.
And good conversationalist, which you are, that will take you a long, long, long way.
Really?
Yeah.
So where does all my lack of confidence come from? That's going to kill me one day. I got to tell you, it's been a while since I've been in a relationship.
Is that why? Do you think as you've gotten older, you've lost confidence? Did you have the confidence earlier on?
I never had confidence.
Oh, okay.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, got it. Sorry.
So that's why I think sometimes or most of the times I ended up with women that I may not necessarily have picked, but who have picked me.
Well, I think you have to know that nobody feels really confident.
Yeah,
always feel like we're in this box alone. The reality is that everybody feels the same way. Everybody's shy.
True.
Everybody's nervous. Everybody lacks confidence. And if you just know that we're all in the same boat, that kind of makes you feel a little more comfortable. And I think once you can get yourself into a place where you feel comfortable, that's where the confidence comes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's funny that you're not confident because you are this great speaker and conversationalist on a great radio show,
right?
Great business owner.
I'm telling you, it's all shit that people put in your head before when we're young, And wherever it comes from, it stays with you, and
you
have to fight it, I mean, I was never really a shy person per se, but I also never went out of my way to pick up a woman or something,
It's
to me,
easy.
It was always it's too hard. I'm not going to do this,
And
it's very uncomfortable, I think.
It is.
It's not a comfortable situation. Unless you're like Ryan Gosling, where you can just smooth into anyone. It's not very comfortable.
Yeah, either that or if the woman gives you even a slight signal that she's interested, that's all I need. I'll pursue the shit out of you.
Mm-hmm.
But just let me know that I'm not wasting my time,
Yeah.
When I ask someone, texting, I ask her, after she said she had fun and everything at lunch, I said, well, so do you think you want to see me again? She's like, maybe, with a smiley. So it's like,
what does that mean?
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Right? Okay. It doesn't sound very good.
Yeah.
So at that point, I said, okay. And I ghosted. So that's pretty much the way.
Maybe try a different question. You know, if something's not working for you, then try something else. How about
right.
that?
Right, but that would be the next. I only asked
Say,
it
let's
once.
Go out again. Not Ooh, right. you know,
That have, is much hotter.
Right? Let's
Sam,
go out again.
Good.
I want to see you.
Ooh, I like that.
Everybody likes to feel like chased, pursued, you know, in
okay,
like,
cool.
so, like, oh, somebody likes
You'll be
likes
my
me.
Advisor.
Yeah, that's
okay,
really good
cool.
advice.
You text
cool.
me when you need some
wow.
advice.
Okay,
I would much rather
good.
Have, I want to come over and see you than Uh-huh. like, are we still doing this? I'm
yeah.
like, I don't know. Like, you know, so that's a great idea. Just be more direct.
Yeah, more direct, more assertive. I want
to
yeah. see you. I had a
that's
good
a
time.
Thing.
Let's
you need
do
to
it
be
again.
More assertive,
so
you
hot,
know?
Right?
And
totally
I'm such an assertive person, but not when it comes to that.
Maybe can
and
you try
I think,
and transfer yourself in business into women? Your assertive self?
Yeah, but then it would turn into something totally different, you know. I should keep it not so business-like.
No, but I
know?
Meant the assertive strain of yourself in business to take it there.
Yeah, you know yes, I, mean? I suppose. I yeah. don't know. I don't know. But it's just because I'm intimidated by, you know, by many women. You know, I'm intimidated by being rejected.
Totally.
And it's not
Everyone
like it's
is.
Not a universal thing.
Everyone
oh,
is.
You know something. Right? Let me tell you something that one of our favorite guests, Kirk DeWint, who was on The Bachelor, he was on stage at the Great Love Debate in Minneapolis, and he said something that was so great. He said, hey, you guys, I got dumped on national television in front of 8 million people. If I can do that and live,
hey,
you're
yeah.
going to be just fine.
That's
Don't
true.
Worry about
That's
it.
That's true, right?
You can survive.
Right. Plus, they say that, and I think... I don't know, maybe I heard it at the debate that, what did I want to say? Okay, it doesn't matter because I knew I didn't want to say it. So
that's great. That's very, very
Anyway,
good.
But we are talking to Kathy Coppa, and you also are, I mean, you describe yourself in casting, producer, and writer. So yeah. Before we continue with this great love talk that everybody loves.
I love it.
Uh-huh. Let's find out a little bit about yourself.
Oh, sure.
Okay, are you originally from here, from L.A.?
I am wow. born and raised in Southern California. I actually grew up just outside of L.A. and my family then moved to San Diego. So I think of San Diego as being home.
Nice.
But I've been here for many, many years and am really a genuine Southern California person.
Wow.
She
wow.
looks it, doesn't she? She's cute blonde.
Yeah,
love it.
And I live at the beach.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing.
Yeah, she. Yeah, I mean,
beach
she
girl.
Lives by
Very
the beach.
Very stereotyped.
Exactly,
like
in the artsy area. You know, yeah, a classic. That's true. A classic LA girl.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
So yeah, and I work in television. I'm a reality TV casting director and development producer and writer, which means that I do just a lot of things in reality TV. But my specialty is finding, as I say, people for shows and shows for people. That's what I
cool.
do.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And do you have any siblings?
I do. I have one sister, and she is in the computer industry forever and wow. in San Diego with her husband, her family, and like that. My dad passed away about 7 years ago, and my mom's still with us.
Yeah.
And
cool.
just, yeah.
So did you
life.
Have a nice childhood in San Diego? What was that like?
You know something? I did. I'm from a really sweet blue-collar family. My mom was a housewife. My dad was a factory worker. And, I mean, they just taught us really, really good practical values. So I'm a very practical person.
You seem very good with common sense, which I don't have any of. I really don't. Like, my biggest thing that if I have kids, I'm like, please, God, give them Brooks's common sense. Because I'm like, Whoa. But I love how practical you are.
And that whole thing, with my theory that I just shared with you about the 20 years, you
totally.
Know, the 20-year
Such
marriage
a
agreement.
Practical idea.
Very practical. I'm so pragmatic, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, right?
Thank you, Dad and Mom.
Yeah, and your sister for going to computers is the same thing, very
yeah,
pragmatic.
Yeah, same thing. So,
yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
And so you're at a good point in your life right now. I mean, you're doing what you want to do. How did you get into this reality thing?
Well, you know something? I had a career in sales and marketing for a number of years. It was very successful. And I had gone to film school earlier. And basically, I didn't go into film and television at that time because I didn't have a mentor and interns back in the day. That interning wasn't really a thing. Yeah. And so I had this other, like I say, life in sales and marketing. And then I literally woke up in the middle of the night one night.
Aha moment.
Aha. Just like in the movies. Yes. And right. I said, wait a minute, I got to live the life that I want to live. And Survivor was on, and it was it was at a time when there were only 4 reality TV shows
on. Yeah, it was the hottest thing at the time, Survivor.
Mark Burnett, yeah. Yes. I mean, a lot of people say that started it.
That started it.
Yeah. Other than The Real World, which I will always argue is the first reality show on MTV.
Yes, which I believe it is, yeah. And so I basically decided in that moment that I would, do what I was supposed to do. And the reason was that I had interviewed in sales and marketing. I had interviewed thousands of people all over North America. And so I basically called them up and I said, I've heard you guys have tens of thousands of people applying for your show. I could probably help you with that. And so that type of job skill was not existent at the time, like I say, because there weren't very many shows on. And I got hired and it just went from
there. So you were right at the beginning?
Right at the beginning. Wow. That was like 15 years ago. So
right at the beginning.
Yeah. Wow. So I've been in it ever since. Love it. Living my life, the life I believe I've always been meant to live. And I love it. I love it. I love people. I love interviewing people. I love reality TV, casting people on reality TV. I've worked on every show that you can think of, every top show, and it's a lot of fun. Survivor, Amazing Race, The Apprentice.
Wow.
I did Extreme Makeover Home Edition. I've worked for Oprah. I did Ayanla Fix My Life.
I love Ayanla.
Yeah, yeah.
You got some resume on you.
Yeah, a couple of shows I have in the news right now. They're just terrific. Born This Way, which I'm very proud, just won an Emmy. That I casted that show. And also 60 Days In, which is also on A&E.
Wow.
And that's about the 7 civilians that went to prison for 60 days to try it out.
Wow.
Wow,
and
that's cool.
Yeah,
huh?
So it's really fun. It's fun. I meet the most interesting people.
Yeah.
Wow.
What about that show with the naked people? Do you do something with that one too?
I know someone who is, I know.
My friend hosted that show.
Yeah.
Dating.
Yeah.
Yeah, she hosts it.
And do you know what? But I don't get the point because they're like pixelating everything. It's like, you know, if I'm watching something like this, I want to see the genitals.
We're,
you know,
not getting the point, but I'm sure they're getting the point, if you know
what
I mean.
Exactly. But I want to get the point still. If it's naked, it's naked. That's it, you know?
I want to see the genitals. That's your slogan.
I know.
I want to see the
genitals. The moment I said that, I thought, that's a classic, you know?
Hashtag. Quote of the day. We should do a quote of the day. And that is that one. No, I it is funny that they're pixelated, but yeah. Yeah, poor Amy. Amy Paffrath, she's the host of it. She's a good friend. She has to walk around naked people all day long. And she's in this cute little outfit. She's like, here we go.
Whoa.
Dongs everywhere. It's like, oh my God. Oh my God. But whatever.
You know, the funny thing is I went to a nudist colony. Well, there weren't that many people there, let's say.
Wait, where was this? What? Tell us, back this it up. Like, back it up.
This was in the Sinai when I was 15 years old in Israel.
In Israel.
Can you believe
that? Mm.
There was hardly anything there. I mean, there were some people that were going there, but it was just mostly my friends and, you know, and I mean, what did we
Is
know,
it a beach?
Right?
There's a beach or what?
Yeah, there was a beach and sands and dunes and everything. And we just went there, and we thought it was cool to walk around naked.
Why not?
You know? Yeah.
You guys are in Israel just fully showing yourself.
Exactly.
Why not?
But this was the 70s also. You
yeah,
remember,
come on.
Yeah.
You got groovy music.
Nobody
going.
Gave a shit.
Yeah, of course. That's fantastic. You were like Adam and Eve, for real. Like, you were like Abraham walking
yeah,
naked
exactly.
in Israel. I love it.
In the Sinai. You
totally.
Know? I know. Dipping naked in the,
All right.
in the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Biblical. Interesting.
Yeah, but Kathy was telling me that she'd been to Israel, you know,
wow,
and
yeah.
So we were talking about that too. Tori, you haven't been yet,
so
right?
I was supposed to go for my birthright,
right?
And then it got really violent right during when I was supposed to go.
Really?
Yeah,
when
was it? Well, it was during the 90s, and it just wasn't like a really safe, and a lot of people weren't
yeah.
sending their kids. And I'm from DC, and my dad knew information, and I just was like, not.
Yeah.
I was told I couldn't go.
You know what? If you look at it that way, though, then it's never safe to go. You know, you
I
just
know,
have to
I
go.
Know. Trust me. Now our family wants to go so bad, but we had some illnesses, but. That's the main transport. We all want to go so badly.
Yeah, you should.
Everyone
you know.
Who goes is like, it's the best trip ever.
Yeah, and especially as Jews,
I
you know.
Know.
I mean,
I know.
Yeah, you need to know what people are talking about, you
bad
know.
Bad Jew, bad Jew.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they just, yeah, you know, I mean, look, they're just hating Israel now for receiving $38 billion over 10
years.
Yeah,
Obama, huh?
Okay.
Now, well, do you like... Oh, you don't... You still don't like... I feel like he does a lot for... Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, it depends if he... it depends how you look at it.
Okay. Did you but, like this but agreement,
look,
though?
I have to say, though, that this thing is a bipartisan thing. Yeah. And I don't think Obama... Well, look, let's just say he didn't get stand in the way, okay, okay, from my perspective. So he didn't get in the way of this happening.
Okay.
But at the same time, I don't think it was all his doing. It's just that there's an ongoing friendship between
sure.
the countries.
Allies. Very strong allies.
Allies, yeah. right. And we all know countries are not friends. They just have common interests. And people have to understand that. But here, there's a special connection, I think, that has existed for many years.
Oh, it's, and it's very bipartisan, Republican, Democrat.
Yeah,
Israel
you know,
is incredibly important to us.
And that's the thing, you know. I mean, without the United States, Israel will be gone. I don't care what you say. We'll just be outnumbered by missiles alone.
But you have to understand, from the United States, we need Israel in the Middle East because they're our only ally.
Right.
So we need each other symbiotically.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, why do you think we have all these allies in the Pacific and stuff? We need air bases there. Mm-hmm. You know, we need whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, what the hell are we doing like in Kuwait and Saudi Arabia and stuff? You
well,
know?
See, it's all about relationships.
Yeah.
This whole day.
Yeah.
This whole morning. It's all about relationships. Symbiotic relationships.
Yeah.
Bringing
yeah,
them back.
Whether it's countries or friends or
lovers,
relationships.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Lovers,
so
whatever.
Can you tell like right away if you meet someone that you have someone in mind that you can match them with? Is that something your head goes to or no?
No, okay. I am not a matchmaker at all. But yeah, just like everyone else, sometimes I'll meet someone and I'll think, oh, wow, I think they might be
you can
a match
cast
someone.
You have to cast yeah. chemistry, so I bet you can tell.
Yeah, yeah. Who. I have been matched up with people before, and it's funny because it's kind of what we were talking about earlier. It can look really good on paper, but you really have to, you don't know who you're going to connect with. You really don't.
It's chemistry.
So,
it's a very blind date.
It's
yeah.
A very, yeah, so you yeah. really, I think you just have to go with it and just see where things lead. I mean, I personally feel that if you have an idea of what you want your life to be like, mm-hmm. if you want it, what you want it to feel
mm-hmm.
like,
the vibe,
and you know things, and then you just kind of go for that. And then if you end up falling for somebody that's not a good fit, it's not going to feel good. But you got to find somebody, kind of cut your losses,
yeah.
and yeah, go with somebody that is a good fit. But I think you can be. I think being open. I like to talk about the magic of maybe. I think that if you're constantly categorizing people as a yes or a no, then you're always ruling somebody out or category. You know, you're missing out on the possibilities, and all the possibilities reside in maybe. Mm. So, maybe this person is a love interest. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're a love interest for somebody that I know. Mm-hmm. Maybe there'll be a business, relationship. Opens it up to every possibility of every kind of relationship that this person could have. And if you do that and you're looking at people with that level of love, if you will, with that level of openness, I mean, I think
that's so Buddhist. I'm studying Buddhism. That is so Buddhist to look at everyone as what can I, I'm just like you. What can I get from this? Where can we go?
Yeah. Our paths crossed for a reason. Let's mm-hmm. find out what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's love. Maybe it's something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know, it's funny that you mentioned maybe, because that's what I mentioned earlier about
that woman writing, right?
She wrote maybe. And you're saying it opens up possibilities, not closing them.
Exactly. Every possibility lives when you say maybe. If you need to make a decision, just say maybe. If you meet people, just say maybe. Just be open.
I should have gone along with it rather than...
Yeah, because what if maybe instead of no
it.
For you, that felt like a closed door for
right,
him. Maybe could have been like a wide open door.
Right, exactly.
Yes, on that text message.
Correct.
Right.
There was a
right.
smiley face. Uh-huh. Let's remember the emoji.
Right.
Yeah, maybe she was saying maybe if you ask me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
I know. But then I said, okay, I expect, you know what? At least say something like I was joking or whatever.
She but that's didn't flirting. What if she was flirting?
Yeah, but how can you know that in text?
That's the hard part.
You know?
People are not good at this stuff.
No.
They're not. And we're all left feet.
Very awkward.
Yeah.
We're all
amateurs at this.
Amateurs, all of us. So, people aren't going to do or say the right thing. You're not going to. Other people aren't. So you got to keep cutting people some slack. You know?
Maybe.
Give them a break.
That's so interesting. My husband was my best friend for a long time. We worked together, and he kept hanging out. And my friends were like, just date him. And I was like, absolutely not. I don't want to lose my best friend. friend. I don't want to lose my best friend. So one day he goes to the beach and I'm like, hey, let's go meet for lunch. And he's like, oh, I'm at the beach with a girl. And it was a blonde girl that was my nemesis. And the next night we kissed and said we loved each other. It was all it took. It was like, if I had just had maybe, it would have gone a lot faster. But I was like, absolutely not. And then the second I saw him in another light, it was like, yes, 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 yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah,
opening exactly. up to maybe would have saved me maybe a couple of years.
Exactly.
Wow. Good advice.
Yeah. Wow, you know what? You just said that. I realized I haven't said I love you and really felt it to someone in a romantic way.
In how long? In a long?
Many years.
Wow.
Many years. And that includes the time when I was married, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like that.
That's hard, isn't it?
Like when you get the butterflies, you mm-hmm. know, when you feel like that's the only person you want to be with and kiss them and hug them and stuff.
Yeah. But don't you think?
Haven't
I
had
think,
that in
but
a long
I think you're
time.
Such a catch that you can find that.
No, I know.
Yeah,
I know. But
you can find
I
that.
Think I've been somewhere else in my head, though.
Yeah,
there's been too many things preoccupying me.
Do you tell other people that you love them in other types of love, other ways?
Yes.
Yes.
Like your
yes.
family.
In other ways,
there,
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But not in a romantic
no.
way like that. Mm-hmm. You know.
But you're very openly.
Well, like you said we both told each other we love. You know, we loved each other and stuff. Wow.
Yeah.
We both said, I love you.
I think when you are someone who likes partnership, like you, companionship and other people, but it takes a mindset. Like you said, you might not be in the right mindset. Mm. Like sometimes I'm not in the mindset to listen to Adele, right? I don't need to hear Adele. And then sometimes all I want to hear is flipping Adele.
Wow.
So I think you have to be in the right
yeah.
mindset. And maybe you needed to move through things to be now you're clearing your vision and you can
yeah.
see things clearly.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I don't think that I'm available.
Yeah, see,
you
that's what happens. You're
saying?
Not in the right mindset to be available.
Yeah, I don't mm-hmm. think I'm, like, available in my mind.
That's exactly
like
true.
Like, I'm not putting myself out there or something, you know?
Yeah.
And because you got to go out, you
know?
You got
to be vulnerable.
Believe in, yeah, none of these apps work, you know, because the texting never works for me.
Yeah, you screwed up the maybe.
Yeah, exactly. That one and other ones, too, you know? I mean, really, it was all in text that I screwed up when they decided to stop responding.
Yeah.
But so I guess
texting doesn't work for you, Sam.
It doesn't work for me.
Yeah,
but some people,
okay.
then I wrote this and this woman, oh, really? So she started listing all the things that I said that didn't seem like right. Oh, well, so you smoke and also you're not as tall as I was hoping.
Oh, wow. This
and
is
also
lovely.
This, I said, wow. I said, you're really good at like pointing out negative things.
Yeah, well, that girl sucks.
I yeah. know.
That sounds terrible.
I know what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think if you're not, maybe I'm wrong, but if you're not open to availability, like my mom always said, when you're ready to get married, you put out a taxi light somehow, and it's like an energy. I'm ready. I'm open. I'm available.
Right.
And like the next person you meet will usually be the guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to turn that light on, though.
Yeah.
Right. That's
and
true.
Brian Howie always says that he says about himself, it's not that I didn't meet the right girl. It's that I wasn't the right guy.
Mm.
And so I think you reach a point where you're ready. And if you're not, you got to admit it is kind of a blessing if you're not, because you don't want to impose, you know, stuff on other people. But if you keep working on yourself and you work that stuff out, then you get ready.
Yeah.
Maybe you're ready now, Sam.
Yeah. No, I am.
I can tell you're ready. I can tell you're
yeah,
ready, too.
I mean,
yeah.
Are you kidding?
But it's hard because you got these stupid apps. I think she's right. I think that maybe for you it's better. Your strategy is going places.
Yeah.
That
I think
might be better.
Because that has worked for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And you
yeah.
relate to people so well in person.
Yes.
You know,
you need
facial
cues. You need all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot different. The apps are, you know, we have one friend who has been on dating apps for 10 years and has never actually been on a date.
Wow.
So,
that would
yeah.
be nice.
You know,
it's like a game, those
exactly.
apps.
Exactly. They
know?
Are like a game, Sam.
It's like time fillers for me.
Candy,
you know?
It's a Candy Crush. It's literally like an app game.
Right.
Yeah. And it's people's lives, which is lovely. But I mean, I went on Match and I, for 2 years before I met my husband, did not meet with one person, and it felt more like a game.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
interesting.
We have a friend in Chicago who is the producer, writer, creator of a show called hashtag Date Me. It's the OK Cupid. Yeah, that show, and that's exactly how they did it. They went on OK Cupid and created all kinds of different personas to see. I think the story was, she tells it better than I do, of course, but I think the story was that she was having bad luck with online online dating. And so she said, well, let me try a few other things and see what works, because obviously what I'm doing is not working. Yeah, exactly. So she ended up creating all these characters, and then it ended up turning into this hilarious, theater show. You got to go with what works.
That's true. No, Kathy, with so much advice to other people, where are you in your life right now?
Spotlight, hot seat.
I mean, I asked you a pretty general, broad question, so you don't have to be specific. Are you happy in your life right now?
I am. I'm happy in my life right now.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, that's as far as she's going to go.
And then she's like, shut it down.
See, I give her a way out.
Yeah. Just gave him the cut sign across the neck.
She's pointing a water gun at his face, guys.
It's okay. I don't even need that. I can read facial cues fine.
That's right. That's a very good way of questioning things. Are you happy in your life right now?
Yeah.
That's very true.
No, because, I mean, look, I knew she, if you take in a gamble, it's 50-50. Either they're going to go, oh, well, yeah, look, I'm dating this guy right now, and I'm very happy, and we're going to have kids and get married and all that stuff. Or they can go with, like, let's move on to the next topic, you know?
Column B today.
You're taking a chance,
Totally.
But I striked out this time around, but that's okay.
I'm the good fairy. That's what I want to be. I want to do good for others.
Right,
she's
exactly.
She's the Yenta.
It's okay to expose everybody else to the world in reality shows and advice and debates, but
she's very private.
Yeah, exactly. And you have every right to be,
My husband is very private, and he loves reality shows.
Yeah.
Loves them. Yeah. And I'm like, I think that's where he gets his little outlet.
Yeah.
Because he's incredibly private, but man, does he love some crappy.
Because you get to look into other people's lives.
Exactly. And he loves the psychology behind it.
Yeah.
He really does.
Well, you know what I always say? I always say that anybody who has a Facebook page has their own reality
100%.
Show, right? I mean, the pictures you put out, the videos you put out, it's like, oh, my life is like this.
It's so filtered.
You're so totally edited. Totally filtered. You have your own show if you have a Facebook page.
Yeah, that's right. And if I don't put my face with Mayfair, I don't want anyone to see me without that filter on Instagram. I look great. It's like a pinky rosy one. It's so interesting. It's like it's completely curated to show only the wins.
Yeah.
There's no losses on my Facebook page. Although I do post sometimes I'll be like, because I often get no's rejection a lot in my career as like an actor and a host trying to make it. And you have to get very used to no. So because of that, I have no fear of rejection anymore. Right. So because I've just, you jumped in the pool. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. But it took a lot of no's. But it is interesting that because I realized if I got a no, nothing catastrophic happened. I just went for the next one, and I didn't break down. It was just like, okay, you do your best, and then the outcome is out of your hands. So, right. I mean, it took years to figure this out.
No, that's
the whole thing, though. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That's the key right there. It is really hard, but there's nothing that's the end of the world except the end of the world.
Exactly. Right. They say no, and I'm like, did an apocalypse happen? No.
No.
Okay. Right. But, in our masculine society, it's pretty devastating
it
for a guy to be rejected. It is the end of the world sometimes, because it's like, how do you look at anybody? How do you look at yourself in the mirror when and look, women by they have to sift and filter and go through all the ones that chase them.
Well, what about you? It's you have like to filter and you have to find someone good enough for you too.
No, that's true. But what I'm saying is that so they have to reject some people. That's what I'm saying,
I think men are a lot more sensitive than we give them credit for.
Right.
It's that stereotype of being strong. Mm-hmm. The guys are the strong ones.
Like the alpha male. Yeah. And I've seen them in action. You know what? It's just like the women eventually regret it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're as sensitive as anybody else. And I do think you're right. And that was not very nice of you to say, Sam. I do think that women do regret when they mistreat a guy because they misread him as being stronger or tougher or less sympathetic than he really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think guys are really sweet.
Oh, they're very like little sparrows. Yeah. And especially when you guys get sick, I'm dying. Oh my God, get over yourself.
That's when you see
but
it.
But men are, I think, totally agree. Maybe it's because I live in Los Angeles, but men are just much, much more sensitive and in a really wonderful way.
Yeah.
In like a very, I don't need to be the alpha male banging it on my chest like an ape. I'd rather you have a conversation.
Oh, I know guys that have been rejected, that have gotten hurt.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Just were so hurt that they just like never went out again.
Yeah.
And that kills me because they're wonderful. And we say that all the time. There are fantastic guys all over the place. And I think they are. I think they're hurt. I think they have been rejected. And you know, and so I think the girls have to be nice to the guys.
Yeah. I agree. But also when you say it's not, it is the end of the world. But that's you building that rejection up to a lot. Because no one else in the world knows what happened. It's you and this one person and 7 billion people.
Right.
The waves keep crashing. You know what I mean?
Good.
So it isn't really the end of the world, even though it feels like it for a day.
That's true.
Go
right?
get in and out or your Tel Aviv grill and feel better.
Right. Exactly. And I'll have to keep remembering that.
Yeah.
You know?
But every time it happens, I have to keep remembering too.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Not another no.
Kathy Kopa, we could have you for another hour easily. Yeah.
Thank you. I had so much fun with you too.
Oh,
really,
best.
Really.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Now, I want you to promote everything. First of all, the Great Love Debate.
Yes, yes. The Great Love Debate. Hilarious live theater experience for singles and others who love to dish about dating and love and relationships and sex. It is so much fun. Come out and play with us on October 6th at the Hollywood Improv or at the 10 p.m. show. You can get tickets online on their website. Lots of fun. Come out and see us. GreatLoveDebate.com. GreatLoveDebate.com. All the information about what we're doing is on there. You can reach me. You can see our tour schedule. And please listen to our podcast. We've got a really cool podcast, a top 1% in the world, and it's loads of fun. And please listen and subscribe.
Awesome. What does that mean, 1%? I'm going to give you a hard time about that one. You guys go with the 1 million listeners and all that. You know what? Look. I'm not going to get into that, okay? But I run a radio station. I know what the numbers are. But at any rate, you guys, congratulations to you anyway. You know, and the thing is, I know you guys, all I can tell you is I promote the Great Love Debate for any single.
Oh, always.
And you guys, one thing we fail to say is that you guys do it all around the country.
We do. We've done over 200 shows in 79 cities.
And do you travel with the show?
I go to some of them. I produce the podcast and some of the live shows.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So
how, cool.
How can people listen to it?
Go to greatlovedebate.com and all the information, everything to click on is on our website.
Awesome.
Sounds good. And that's how people can they get a hold of you too? Or
yes,
do you
indeed.
Want to give some social media stuff?
That is it.
All
greatlovedebate.com. Go there and everything.
Easy.
Yeah, everything is on there.
So you're totally in charge of that one. You're like, I've got, okay, cool.
I like that. It's easy.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for joining us. You're a lot of fun, a lot of information. You're welcome back anytime.
Yes.
Thank you. I had a great time.
Of course. And you see, and she was assertive. She came to me and she said, you know, nice to meet you. And you know, I know you have the radio show and everything.
And what's the worst that could have happened? You said no thanks and she moves on. No one remembers.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah. But why would I have said no?
Of course. She's
a
gorgeous.
Great person.
No.
Yes.
Great person.
There you go. Absolutely. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Have a great weekend. Tori, you too.
You too.
I hope to see you tonight.
Me too. Let's get fancy.
At the gallery. Yes, folks, and we'll report about what happened on Monday. So have a great one, and we'll see you then.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.